1970. You're putting a baby to bed. You rock them in your arms, give them a gentle kiss, lower them into their cot, all the while singing softly to them. 2019. You're putting a baby to bed. You rock them in your arms, you give them a gentle kiss, you lower them into their cot, and fire up a playlist on a digital device. Fewer parents are singing to their children this century, and Mari Van Gend thinks that's a problem. She's a school choir leader in Port Macquarie with a background in science, music and education, and she wants more people to sing to their children, particularly lullabies. Mari, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary. Thank you for having me.
What memories do you have of singing from your childhood, Mari?
Well, I was actually very lucky because I grew up in Africa. I was born in Zambia, and singing was just a normal part of life then. I had, I was surrounded by African kids who were singing and African adults who were singing, and my family was just a singing family. So I have really warm memories of music being all around me.
And you trained as a science teacher, but you became a choir teacher too to fill a need in your local area. That's an interesting path.
Yes, and it was just sort of serendipity, really. I had sung in choirs when I was at school, and when my kids started at school in Port Macquarie, there wasn't a choir, so I just put my hand up, and that's 20 years ago now, and it's now become my main job.
And in recent years, you've been becoming worried that people aren't singing to their children as much as, say, 20, 30 years ago. What does the research tell us on this?
Well, the research is actually fascinating. I first started noticing this about 18 months ago when my niece had twins. And it was the first time I'd thought about the fact that people were not singing, that there were these recordings being played to babies. And at the time, I was doing a PhD thesis on adolescent voices, but I was in that sort of research mode. And so I started reading papers about lullabies because I was just, there was a sort of niggling feeling that maybe lullabies were important and maybe this was something we needed to have a little look at. And sure enough, there is an enormous amount of research that shows the multiple benefits of lullabies. And the most important factor is that it is actually the parent's voice or the carer's voice. It's the familiar voice that is important. It's not the music.
Well, and is it different than just talking to a baby? What's special about singing?
What's special about singing is, firstly, babies respond more alertly and more positively to singing than they do to speech. Interestingly enough, when we speak to babies, we use this technique called motherese, and we do that without really thinking about it. And that's where you have that sort of sing-songy, unusual way of speaking to a baby where you use lots of different pitch changes and you do a lot of work to really engage the baby. Singing does that as well, but singing does that in a far more engaging way for a baby. And it uses a whole lot of really powerful changes in pitch, repeated vowels, repeated consonants, and there's something about the way that a baby responds to that that is far stronger than with speech.
That's fascinating to think. Mm. Do we know what's going on in a baby's brain when we sing to it that helps calm it down?
There is a team of researchers in Canada led by a lady called Dr. Sandra Treehorpe. And she has been able to prove through putting a little sort of brain cap on top of a baby, she's been able to prove that there is a settling, a calming effect on the brain activity with lullabies, and it's a greater calming effect than with speech. But there's also a really important other element, and it's the calming effect on the adult that is singing the lullaby. So it's almost like this dual thing where you have a beautiful, settling, calming, communicating, bonding effect with lullabies for the baby, but also it impacts on the parent or the person who is singing. And there is this lovely synchronicity that happens, that a stressed parent, when they sing a lullaby to a baby, the parent also settles. And so it's been used a lot for people who have had postnatal depression. And it also just is a really, really important thing for new parents who are just feeling a little bit out of their depth with their baby. Singing makes you feel better about it.
Someone who sang many, many, many rounds of knick-knack paddywhack to try and get their child to sleep. I was a little stunned to hear that you get different results when you're holding the baby and singing than when the baby's in the cot and you're singing.
Well, that was actually a really interesting thing. There's a wonderful researcher based in Melbourne called Dr. Anita Collins, and she's written a brilliant book called The Lullaby Effect, The Science of Singing to Your Child. And for her, the lullaby effect is the extraordinary amount of calming that happens. But it doesn't have to happen when you're holding the baby. Just the singing, if your baby's lying in the cot, just the singing has a far greater calming effect than recorded music or all the other sort of white noise stuff that people are using. And one of the really important things is that I hadn't realized, actually, until I started researching this, that when a baby is born, all they hear is just one sound. It's just this cacophony. But while they were in utero, they got to recognize their mother's voice. And so when they come out into the world, there is something that can make sense of the world for them, and that is their mother's voice. And so adding a Spotify playlist is not helping. All that is just adding to the cacophony. And really, the parental voice, the father's voice, the mother's voice, the grandparents' voice, that helps the child make sense of this massive auditory porridge that they're born into, really.
Well, and Mari van Gend, you've launched a podcast today called Lullaby, The First Steps, and it teaches people how to sing lullabies. Let's start with the basics. How do you define a lullaby? Is it different from like a nursery rhyme?
A lullaby, actually, one of the really important things is a lullaby can be anything. It can be an AC/DC or a Bon Jovi, but it's the way that it is. In fact, most people, I think, actually just make stuff up, and that is totally okay. It's really important you're singing something that you enjoy singing, but it is the manner in which you sing it. So it's gentle. It's gentle. It doesn't matter if you can't sing in tune. Baby doesn't know. Doesn't matter what words you're using. The baby doesn't know. But it is gentle. It's sitting in a really comfortable part of your voice. And interestingly enough, what will happen is if you're holding your baby and singing, you'll find yourself sort of naturally rocking. And that's a very important part of this whole lullaby effect, in that a lot of what we have found is, what researchers have found, is that lullabies are a really important mechanism for connecting the motor cortex and the auditory cortex, which is fundamental for developing speech. And so it's another of the really powerful things with lullabies is speech development. So it's just a gentle song, lots of repeat, can just be two or three notes. It doesn't really have to be anything specific. We, in the podcast, I'm really focusing on some of the beautiful traditional lullabies from all over the world, just because I think there are probably four reasons that people don't sing lullabies. The main one is that we have a fear of singing now in our culture, so people don't think they're good enough. The other one is that people just don't know what to sing, so the podcast addresses both of those. Also, people haven't realized that it was really important. I hadn't realized until I started looking at it. And also, there's this time thing. People now are so busy, they think, oh, well, you know, lullabies take a long time to do, so it's much easier if I just put on a playlist. And what I'm trying to do with this podcast is to say, actually, it's really important. It's worth the time. Come sing with me, and I'll show you how to do this stuff. And it's really very, very simple. And you will start feeling so good. And you'll also see how your baby responds. And that will hopefully start making people feel more enthusiastic about following this through.
Yeah, that would be a compelling argument for me, I have to say.
Good.
Mari, in your podcast, you use this lovely snippet of one young child singing at the beginning of each episode.
This is Levi.
Yeah, yes. And this is Levi, for our listeners, singing with his mum, Genevieve.
Night, baby. Good night, baby. Good night, baby. It's time to go to sleep.
What effect has being sung to had on Levi? Because obviously he's just adorable.
He is adorable. And that was actually one of those serendipitous moments. I'd popped around to visit his mum. His mum was actually a student of mine. She sang in all my choirs at school. And she's now got these two gorgeous little kids. And while I was visiting them, Levi went to have his afternoon nap. And I heard him singing upstairs. And I thought, oh my goodness, how absolutely gorgeous. And he's only two. But he has been sung to since he was a newborn by both his mum and his dad. And he now sings himself to sleep with his own lullabies. And I said to Genevieve, I would so love it if you could just record that and I could use it on the podcast. And so that's him, you know, being a little star. He's absolutely gorgeous, isn't he?
So is. Marie, all the things that you talked about, the reasons why people aren't singing, the time poor feeling, the I'm not good enough feeling, and just the lack of exposure to singing, they speak to a culture-wide difference between now and a few decades ago even. How do we fix that? What kinds of things would, apart from the argument that your baby will sleep more, will help people get back into a habit of singing to children?
I think knowing that it's important, I think that one of the sort of driving forces of so much of what people do when they're raising children is that they become aware that this is an important thing. And I think that the importance of lullabies has been lost. And so I think just educating people on that is really critical. I'm trying to work with midwives and with community nurses. I've got a project I'm trying to set up with University of Newcastle at the moment. But it's partly that. We have a problem with singing across the board in Australia. People are fearful of it. People, the PhD thesis I've just done is all about mixed voice adolescent choirs in high schools and how they are just disappearing and trying to work out strategies to try and rescue that. So singing. And apart, I think singing has become a sort of competition sport, really. There's so much stuff on TV where you've got to compete and you're judged with your singing. So people are fearful of it.
And do we need intervention at the point where the baby is born? Do you need people in hospitals saying, here's a rhyme time book, here's a CD, go crazy?
Well, I think should be happening is that we should be singing in the hospital. I'm going to try and start spending one day a week in the maternity ward at our local hospital and just running little singing circles for mothers who are in hospital who've just given birth. But it's also remarkably important to actually start singing before your baby is born because they can hear in utero. And there was an amazing study that was done where they got a group of parents, they taught them one lullaby which they sang to their baby in utero. And then when the babies were born, they got the parents to sing a series of different lullabies and they had the baby monitored with skin temperature changes and brain activity and heart rate, that kind of thing. And then as soon as they sang the lullaby that was sung in utero, the baby's response was completely different and they recognized it. And so singing to your baby before your baby's born is a really great thing to do because then they've got something to hold on to when they come out. Which will give them recognition and security.
And that makes life easier for everyone. Marie van Gend, thank you so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
And I hope everybody enjoys this podcast because I had so much fun doing it.
Good. Port Macquarie, Marie van Gend is in Port Macquarie. She's the host of the podcast Lullaby, The First Steps. She's a school choir leader and a music PhD candidate. You can find a link to that podcast on our homepage or wherever you find your podcasts. You're with Life Matters here on RN.